there are so many important issues of the day that need to be discussed. So I have turned to my fellow intellectual welterweight, A.J. Mass, the distinguished sports writer, to help me discern the most important issue of the day. A.J., tell me briefly, Kirk or Picard?
Janeway.
What?
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 204, More Nerdy Geekery. A.J. Mass is a distinguished sports writer for the website of a well-known four-letter American entertainment and sports programming network, the name of which we're not allowed to say. But he's also given literally minutes of thought and attention to such burning issues as who the greatest starship captain was and the differences between nerds and geeks. Now, I know the World Series between the Texas Rangers and the San Francisco Giants will conclude this week, perhaps even this evening, and Reed and Rippy and I will talk about that next week. But for now, we'll focus on fantasy, not baseball. Take it away, AJ.
I think the best captain, if you're looking for a performance review, would indeed have to be Janeway.
Okay, defend that.
Well, I mean...
Oh, hang on. Wait a second. Do you mean performance as an actor or performance in the... or a, if you're evaluating a starship captain's performance?
Evaluation of starship captains.
Uh-huh.
I think it depends. You know, the Kirk Picard debate is one we can get into in a minute. But Janeway is so badass. I mean, she doesn't even believe herself when she comes back from the future to tell her what's going to happen. That's badass.
Yes, and she had arguably, well, maybe not in Kirk's case, but arguably one of the toughest jobs of a starship captain, to bring her people home.
Well, that's right, and people who not necessarily wanted to be with her, you know, those Maquis were at the very beginning were not happy to be suddenly absorbed into the the starship crew there. So you know, she had a crew against her, and plus, I think the one thing that I really do appreciate about Janeway, and yes, you can attribute this perhaps to lazy writers, but. You know, it helps her in this argument, is that, you know, when she had a tactic that worked, she used it over and over and over again. There's no need to, you know, it's like Kirk, when he wanted to time travel, you know, slingshot around the sun was a perfectly legitimate maneuver, but every time they had to come up with some brand new way to go back in time. You know, Janeway, how many times did she do that? I'm not really here, I'm a hologram. You know, she did that like 6 or 7 times over the course of the series because it worked, and she's not going to waste time coming up with a new way to do things. That's efficiency.
I am impressed. I'm impressed by your evaluation. You've clearly thought long and hard. You've put in the time. The thing I did not like about Janeway, and I think Kate Mulgrew is probably a phenomenal actress, but I thought she brought the acting level of Starship Captains sort of back to a kind of an early Kirk way. She was so emotional about every issue she had to agonize over about, and all of her crew people. She was either so sensitive to their needs or much tougher than she needed to be. And I just go, wait, yo, Catherine, Katie, Kay, relax, honey, just relax. You've got the job. You are the starship captain. Take it easy, honey.
Yeah, I think, you know, all the starship captains brought their own little quirks and idiosyncrasies to the role, and yes, hers, you know, she always had that pen delivery there, too, back, I need to find out what's going on, you know, very robotic, almost like the Hillary Clinton kind of speech, you know, where Hillary Clinton would, she'd never get excited so much as she'd get louder when she wanted to emphasize something, you know, like, and I say that these people are the best. You know, Janeway had that same kind of, like, she would just get louder instead of more emotional.
And she also, as you demonstrated, had that Kennedy-esque cadence.
Absolutely. Oh. Another fine leader.
Oh, Tuvok, the loons, Tuvok, you're my knight in shining armor.
You know, plus also, you know, she was, you know, on a peer level with Q. You know, she wasn't like, oh, yeah, oh, hi, Q, what's going on, man? You know, it wasn't like, oh, my goodness, Q is here.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you know what? Mulgrew, Kate Mulgrew and John Delancey are old friends, old theater friends from way back when, back in the day. So.
Well, exactly, and so that they tailored the role to that. But I mean, it just in the universe of Star Trek, it kind of just lent credence to the fact that, yeah, this Janeway, she's pretty good.
Tell me about your thinking along the other important question, at least for we in the Reduced Shakespeare Company, the difference between a nerd and a geek.
Well, I think there's a couple of different levels of nerd versus geek. I mean, I think definitely there's a high school level mm-hmm. of nerds and geeks, mm-hmm. and then there's the, you know, post-high school level. I think in the high school level, you know, nerds are basically the whipping boys, or girls, but they're the ones who get the socially ostracized and get beaten up. Mm-hmm. You know, they tend to be dressed, you know, in that stereotypical, you know, glasses with the tape and the pocket protector.
Mm-hmm. They lack some basic sartorial clues and some basic social graces.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Whereas the geeks, equally not the cool kids, mm-hmm. equally not, you know, going to be hanging out with the football team, but I think there's a usefulness factor there with them where hey, we might need them to fix our car or you know, maybe set up the stereo system in our basement. So let's, and plus they might have some sort of bomb mechanism in their locker. So let's not mess with the geeks. We're not going to socialize with them, but maybe we shouldn't, you know, give them wedgies.
Okay.
But that's the high school level, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Don't you think that those sort of high school designations hold up as well in grown-up land as well?
I think that once you get past the high school and everything, there's more of a cool factor with certain levels of geekiness. Mm-hmm. I think the nerds kind of turn into this. They have no awareness of what is cool, and they think that, you know, their math skills, or that, you know, knowing the periodic table is something to be brag about.
Right.
Whereas the geek understands the inherent uncoolness of knowing, you know, what dilithium crystals are, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they can help themselves with bringing it up eventually.
Right. Well, but in a certain way, I think you're right that there comes a point at which your most confident geek or nerd celebrates his passion, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a celebration of this passion, and I just think the difference is that the nerd is kind of has this superiority complex mm-hmm. Over it, like, and lauds it over people, whereas like, if I know all this stuff, and that's what is important, is that I know this stuff, whereas a geek, you know, may not know everything about everything, but, you know, certainly knows every little intimate detail of, you know, every line of dialogue from episode 13 of The X-Files season 3, you know, and stuff like that. But they're aware that, it's just more of a self-awareness. They're aware that, you know, this is a little bit niche, but it can be cool in certain circumstances, and that's okay for, you know, like remote control on MTV kind of celebrated geekiness in that, you know, these useless bits of information were suddenly, you know, hey, I'm on remote control. You're on remote control. Wow, really? You're on remote control? That's cool.
Right.
So, you know, there is a way for a geek to turn this kind of niche element into something popular, whereas I don't think there's ever going to be a situation where, you know, like, you know, I went to MIT and, you know, I can recite pi to the 76th place. I don't think that's ever going to be cool. And yet nerds don't accept this.
Well, is that because they are pioneers or in denial?
I think that's exactly the right word. Denial of the truth.
Hi, this is Tom Gabbard. I'm president of the North Carolina Blumenthal Performing Arts Center. and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? Well, this week we begin our two-week run of The Complete History of America Abridged and Completely Hollywood Abridged at Jubilee Hall in Singapore, and we begin our week-long run of The Complete World of Sports Abridged at the Blumenthal Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. Then later on this month, our final performances of 2010 will be at Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania, and the Eisenman Center in Richardson, Texas. But we've got some great venues and dates lined up for the first half of 2011. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific venue and ticket information. Now, of course, the secret of comedy is timing, and as it happens, our London correspondent Zim Smith emailed me this very morning the 100 reasons why Kirk is greater than Picard. The reasons includes such things as when Picard senses that Wesley Crusher is having an emotional problem, he sits down and talks with him about it. When Kirk senses that Charlie X was having emotional problems, he took him to the gym and threw him around on the mats until he got over it. Picard's Enterprise was destroyed by a couple of Klingon chicks while he was stranded on a desert planet. Kirk's Enterprise was destroyed when he blew up a crew of Klingons, stole their ship, and resurrected Spock from the dead. When Data hijacked the Enterprise, Picard was helpless to stop him. When Spock hijacked the Enterprise, Kirk fought him to the death. Kirk fought the Greek god Apollo and won. Kirk does not play the flute. This is just a sampling of the many compelling reasons why Kirk is indeed greater than Picard. Do a Google search for 100 reasons why Kirk is better than Picard, and you'll find the complete list. And now back to sports writer AJ Mass, who gives us his background bona fides.
I did play baseball, and I did play soccer. I wouldn't consider myself a jock. I am slight of build. So, you know, I'm not your football linebacker or quarterback, but, you know, I did play baseball, so I did have a sporting background. I'm the former mascot of the New York Mets, which, you know, is that easy? Probably. But it's also very athletic. I mean, you know, being a mascot is a physical exertion, so I straddle the line between discord and rhyme. Mm-hmm. I'm on the hunt. I'm after you.
There's athletic being a mascot, but there is that kind of faint whiff of pep squad.
Yes, and I think it's all in the. I think it's in the delivery.
Yeah.
It's in the way that you present yourself with the players. I mean, the players accepted me, and I think that kind of allowed me to not be like this ostracized. Oh,
yeah.
He's coming over here again.
It allowed. Yes.
I think also it's also the fact that at the time I was doing it, a lot of the players had kids, and so I was like a surrogate parent to their child while they were on the field, and I think they appreciated that in many ways. But I certainly don't lead with it, but you know, I've gotten so many job interviews that I have no business being in. Just because people see that little thing on the resume that I put at the bottom saying, and also was, you know, mascot for 4 years, and people just want to talk to me about it.
Sure, why not?
It's opened so many doors for me, which is great. But like I said, I'm not leading with it.
So is your as a sports writer, and your fascination for fantasy sports, for instance, and stat sheets, does that make you a geek or a nerd?
Yeah, I would think it's in the geek category rather than the nerd category. There are certainly people who could take it to a nerd level where it's like, you know, they memorize the stats of every player in the league and can recite them to you, and that's not what I do. I certainly have to reference stats in my work, but I'm referencing them. I'm not pulling them from memory.
Well, a distinguished sports writer and eminent geek, AJ Mass, thank you for talking to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Oh, my pleasure, Austin. Anytime.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your complaint emails that say, please shut up about Starship Captains and Nerds and Geeks via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews at our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com, and our Reduce Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, acting ensign Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Richard Dinsdale. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Tom Gabbard, president of the North Carolina Blumenthal Center of the Performing Arts here in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we're performing sports this week. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 204/612 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I will take you up on that anytime offer.
Oh, yeah, we've only gotten the tip of the iceberg in Kirk versus Picard, let me tell you.
Scratch the surface.
I don't get to talk about this much.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.